Solomon's Deep Repentance. God gave Solomon plain instructions and wonderful promises, yet the Bible says he did not keep what the Lord had commanded. His heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. 1 Kings 11 verse 10 and 9. His heart was so hardened in transgression that his case seemed nearly hopeless. From the joy of fellowship with God, Solomon turned to the pleasures of the senses. He says, "I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks, and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I bought male and female slaves. I also gathered for myself silver and gold. So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure. Then I considered all that my hands had done, and the toil I had spent in doing it, and again, all was vanity and a chasing after wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. So I hated life. I hated all my toil in which I had toiled under the sun." Ecclesiastes 2, verse 4 to 11, then 17 and 18, NRSV. By bitter experience, Solomon learned that life is empty when it seeks its highest good in earthly things. Gloomy, disturbing thoughts troubled him night and day. He no longer had any joy or peace of mind, and the future was dark with despair. Yet the Lord did not forsake him. By reproof and severe judgments, he tried to awaken the king to the sinfulness of his course. He permitted enemies to harass and weaken the kingdom. The Lord raised up an adversary against Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. And Solomon's servant, Jeroboam, a mighty man of valor, also rebelled against the king. 1 Kings 11 verse 14, 26-28. A prophetic warning startles Solomon. At last, a prophet delivered to Solomon the startling message, "I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant. Nevertheless, I will not do it in your days, for the sake of your father David. I will tear it out of the hand of your son." Verses 11 and 12. Awakened as from a dream by this sentence of judgment, Solomon began to see how foolish he had been. With mind and body enfeebled, he turned from earth's polluted water sources to drink once more at the fountain of life. Because he seemed unable to turn from folly, the fear of utter ruin had long troubled him. But now, in the message given him, he detected a ray of hope. God stood ready to deliver him from a slavery more cruel than the grave, and from which he had no power to free himself. Solomon acknowledges his sin. In repentance, Solomon began to retrace his steps toward the high position of purity and holiness from which he had fallen. He could never hope to escape the terrible results of sin, but he would humbly confess the error of his ways and warn others so that they would not be hopelessly lost because of the evil influences he had set in operation. The truly repentant person thinks of those he or she has led into evil and tries to lead them back to the true path. Such people do not gloss over their own wayward course, but lift the danger signal so that others may take warning. Solomon acknowledged that the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil. Madness is in their hearts. Though a sinner does evil 100 times and his days are prolonged, yet I surely know that it will be well with those who fear God. But it will not be well with the wicked, nor will he prolong his days. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 3, and 8, 12, and 13. By inspiration, the king recorded the history of his wasted years with their lessons of warning. In this way, his life work was not wholly lost. With lowliness in his later years, Solomon taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. He sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 9 and 10. "Fear God and keep His commandments," he wrote, "for this is the whole duty of everyone. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Verses 13 and 14 and NRSV. Counsel to Youths. Solomon's later writings reveal that as he realized more and more the wickedness of his actions, he gave special attention to warning the youth against the errors that had led him to squander heaven's best gifts. With sorrow and shame, he confessed that in the prime of manhood, when he should have found in God his comfort, his support, his life, he put idolatry in the place of the worship of God. And now his greatest desire was to save others from the bitter experience through which he had passed. With touching appeals, he wrote concerning the privileges before the youth. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart, and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart, and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9, 10. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. The life of Solomon is full of warning. When his character should have been like a sturdy oak, he fell under the power of temptation. When his strength should have been the firmest, he was found to be the weakest. The only safety for both young and old is in watchfulness and prayer. In the battle with inward sin and outward temptation, even the wise and powerful Solomon was conquered. His failure teaches that whatever our intellectual qualities may be, and however faithfully we may have served God in the past, we can never trust our own wisdom and integrity. It is as true now as when Moses spoke to Israel about obedience to God's commandments. This is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples. Deuteronomy 4, verse 6. Here is the only safeguard for individual integrity, the purity of the home, or the stability of the nation. The statutes of the Lord are right, and he who does these things shall never be moved. Psalm 19, verse 8, 15, 5. Only obedience keeps from apostasy. Those who heed the warnings of Solomon's apostasy will shun the first approach of those sins that overcame him. Only obedience to heaven's requirements will keep anyone from apostasy. As long as life lasts, we will need to guard the affections and passions firmly. Not for a moment can we be secure except as we rely on God, the life hidden with Christ. Watchfulness and prayer are the safeguards of purity. All who enter the city of God will enter through the narrow gate, for there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles. Revelation 21, verse 27. But none who have fallen need to give up in despair. Aged men and women, once honored of God, may have defiled their souls, sacrificing virtue on the altar of lust. But if they repent, forsake sin, and turn to God, there is hope for them. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Isaiah 55, verse 7. God hates sin, but he loves the sinner. The effects of Solomon's apostasy. Solomon's repentance was sincere, but he could not undo the harm that his example had brought. During his apostasy, some people in the kingdom maintained their purity and loyalty, but the repentant king could not easily stop the forces of evil that idol worship and worldly practices had set in operation. He had greatly weakened his influence. Many hesitated to place full confidence in his leadership. The king could never hope to destroy entirely the terrible influence of his wrong deeds. Made bold by his apostasy, many continued to do evil. And in the downward course of many of the rulers who followed him, we can see the sad influence of Solomon's corrupting of his God-given powers. In anguish as he reflected bitterly on his life choices, Solomon declared, "Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. Dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment and cause it to give off a foul odor. So does a little folly to one respected for wisdom and honor." Ecclesiastes 9, verse 18, 10, 1. Beyond our knowledge or control, our influence affects others in blessing or cursing. It may be heavy with the gloom of discontent and selfishness, or poisonous with the deadly taint of cherished sin. Or it may be charged with the life-giving power of faith, courage, and hope, and sweet with the fragrance of love. But potent for good or for evil it will be. One soul misled, who can estimate the loss? And yet one rash act, one thoughtless word on our part, may exert so deep an influence on the life of another that it will prove to be the person's ruin. One blemish of character may turn many away from Christ. Every act, every word, will bear fruit. Every deed of kindness, of obedience, of self-denial, will reproduce itself in others, and through them instill others. So every act of envy, malice, or discord will spring up in a root of bitterness that will defile many. Hebrews 12, verse 15. Thus the sowing of good and evil goes on through the centuries.